You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Esmeralda Santiago, author of the best-selling memoir When I Was Puerto Rican, returns to the island, but in the 19th century this time, for her latest novel, Conquistadora. It's the epic story of a strong-willed heroine, Ana Larragoiti Cubillas, who leaves Spain with her husband to run a sugar plantation in the Caribbean colony, which is just beginning to form its identity and is struggling with rapid change and a mix of cultures, as well as poverty, disease, and slavery. Conquistadora is published by Knopf. I'm very pleased that it has brought Esmeralda Santiago back to our show. It's a pleasure to see you again.
Wonderful to see you again, Leonard.
Ana is very strong-willed, doesn't quite fit into the upper-class world she's been born into. What appeals to her about going to Puerto Rico?
I think it's a fantasy at the beginning. She has discovered the diaries and journals and drawings of an ancestor 300 years earlier, and she's just fascinated by the place. And she's a curious and ambitious young woman and becomes completely obsessed with the idea of going there.
Did you have any historical examples in mind when you were creating Ana?
Not really. I didn't find any real counterparts to Ana, although I did learn in some of the research that there were women who owned haciendas, but there was no real information about what their everyday lives were like.
Her mother is disappointed that Ana wasn't a boy, and her mother-in-law dislikes her. Is it a generational problem, or do women like that just not understand someone like
Ana? I think cultural at that time as well. You know, the issue with her mother was that they had to her mother was supposed to deliver a son so that the wealth of the family would stay on their line, and she didn't do that, and so it was really hard for her to love Ana the way she would have loved a son. And her mother-in-law doesn't like her because she kind of convinced her sons to come to Puerto Rico when she didn't want them to do that.
And you say sons because she marries Ramon, who is one of a twin, an identical twin. And they have a complicated relationship.
Yes, they have a very complex relationship and a lot of complex relationship between the three of them because the brothers are used to share everything. And before she realizes it, they're also sharing her.
Well, I was interested in the fact you named the other brother Inocente.
Innocente.
And Innocente, innocent, right?
Yes.
He's anything but innocent.
Right.
Are they as enthusiastic about leaving Spain and taking over sugar plantation in Puerto Rico as Ana is?
They are not as excited about that. I think she really convinces them that they didn't want to be working in an office, for example. That's what their mother was expecting from them. And so she convinced them that there was more adventure in life than to going into an office every day. And so convinced them to go there where things would be exciting and they'd be outdoors all the time.
And sugar was the big crop throughout the Caribbean.
Yes, not just
Puerto Rico, but Cuba, Haiti. Yes,
Barbados, the Dominican Republic.
Yeah. Less so now. Is there much sugar grown in Puerto Rico now?
There's still some. You can go down to the southern coast of Puerto Rico in February, and you just see the guajana, the beautiful purple flowers of the sugar cane, but not to the extent as when Ana was there.
Well, you mentioned that she had found the diaries of an ancestor. He'd gone there with Ponte de León. Mm-hmm. What kind of account of life did his diaries give?
Mostly his diaries would have been just the wonder of this place. These were Basque sailors, mostly, who were the soldiers of the conquistadores, and they had never seen the fruits, the vegetables, the natives. And that's one of the things that most fascinated her about, was just the physical descriptions that he wrote.
But the conquistadores don't have a particularly good reputation now for the way that they treated the indigenous peoples. Would Ana have been aware of that?
Oh, she would definitely have been aware of it. But of course, she's a convent educated young Catholic girl who has heard all her life that the only true faith is the Roman Catholic Church, and that anything that you do on its behalf, it's okay.
Well, were there still many indigenous people surviving on the island?
Not at that time. They had the mestizaje, you know, that we had just married one another, so that they're still, you know, if you do a DNA test, apparently you can still find a great percentage of the native people. But in terms of finding a 100% Taíno, by the time she arrived, they would have been gone into the population.
And the sugar plantations relied on slave labor. This was slave labor imported from Africa?
Yes, they were imported from Africa. At the time that she arrived, the laws had changed and made it technically you couldn't import directly from Africa. So what they would do is they would bring the slaves into another island like Guadalupe or Martinique, and then they would bring them into Puerto Rico, and so then they wouldn't have been bringing them directly.
This is a time when attitudes toward slavery are changing. The British had already banned the slave trade, but not Spain?
Spain had, but again, they got around it through this loophole of bringing it to a different place.
Because we also see in the Dominican Republic the slavery continuing after the slave revolt on the other side of the island, in Haiti. And I'm assuming that people would have been very aware of the slave revolts, the independence of Haiti, and then slave uprisings in St. Croix and Martinique and Guadalupe.
Yes, and not only the owners of the haciendas, but the slaves were very aware of what was happening. And this is one of the reasons why there were numerous laws against, they couldn't get together for more than three people at a time, for example, that kind of thing, just trying to control their knowledge and the availability of information.
Did the American Civil War have much of an impact on Puerto Rico?
It had some it had in the sense that by then Spain was allowing trade between Puerto Rico and the United States. And so Puerto Rico is one of the places where they would, there was a lot of contraband during the Civil War. But also at the beginning, around that time is when we begin to see Americans, North Americans coming to the islands, and especially Puerto Rico.
I'm assuming that the whole idea of freedom was at the center of your thinking about this book. Mm-hmm. Anna has managed to be free as a woman living at a time when women didn't have many rights or powers, and yet she's able to have that freedom because she can exploit others and use slave labor.
Yeah, and she's very aware of this, and she also is very aware that in order to do this, she cannot be in society in the way a woman is expected to be society. So she pretty much isolates herself into the hacienda so that she could do what she feels she needs to do and do it with all the freedom that she wants to have.
Ramon wants to return to Spain.
Yes, and she refuses.
Why?
She doesn't want to go back. She knows what's waiting for her, you know, and the way she expresses it and the way she thinks about it is, the idea of being locked up in rooms with women gossiping and sewing, and that's not the kind of life she wants.
My guest is Esmeralda Santiago, whose latest book is a novel called Conquistadora. It is published by Knopf, and then she winds up running the plantation herself.
She does, because the two brothers very quickly realize they don't want to be there themselves, and they can't convince her to leave. And there's several tragedies. She's widowed. And
then she has to make a deal.
She has to make a deal in order to stay there, because the plantation does not own is not owned by the brothers. It goes it's owned by her father-in-law. And she's afraid that unless she makes a deal, she's going to have to live in his household, which was the custom for a widow.
How is she viewed by her slaves?
They consider her, as her mother-in-law says, a good mistress compared to the others. But the slaves are, they have very possibility of expressing their opinions. They see these people intimately in a way that nobody else does, and they know who they are and how they live. But they can only talk to one another.
Well, she also learns from the women around her on the plantation.
She's very curious, and she's very empathetic in that sense, that she's a person who uses people, and she uses them to learn how to live in this place because they know how to do it.
One of those women is Signa Damita.
Señora Damita. Señora Damita was a slave who was manumitted by her owner when he died, but he did not do that to her husband and children. So she is living near the plantation. She is a healer, and she takes care of the slaves' health situation. And she's also very, very much aware of what's happening around the world.
How much of this grows out of your research, and how much of it was just your invention?
I would say the research supported my ideas of what I wanted to do with these characters. These characters they just spoke to me in ways that were really fascinating to me, and they appeared with agendas, and so it was really interesting to me that my job, especially at the beginning when I was still getting to know them, was to just listen very closely to what they were trying to tell me.
Some reviewers have seen parallels between this novel and Gone with the Wind.
Yes, it's surprising. I think maybe it's a strong female character who is just completely obsessed and loves the land. I think that this is one of the connections. But
were you unaware of that when you were writing it?
No. I was not. I had seen the film many, many years ago, of course. I had never read the book, but I read it after when this is beginning to come up. And I'm going like, okay, well, let me see. What did I miss?
Well, writing a historical novel like this, it also probably gives you some kind of insight into your homeland, doesn't it?
It does. It gives me a different perspective. I think one of the things that I realized is that not only in Puerto Rico, but in the United States, we think that our history begins with the invasion of the American Navy in 1898. But there were 400 years of history before that. And that history is not as well known, not only here, but also on the island.
Well, that history was really powerful because Puerto Rico is still a Spanish-speaking I can't say country, but anyway.
A nation, a pueblo.
But you would have thought after all of these years, more people would be speaking English first. If you go to the Philippines, which didn't have as close a relationship with the United States, you find most people do speak English.
That's correct. I mean, I think the government wants you to believe that we're all bilingual in Puerto Rico, but that's actually not the case. I would say that there are many, especially in the big cities. And, of course, there's a very big number of people in the tourist industry who are supposed to and should be bilingual. But when you get out into the country, it's not quite as extensive, and people are not as comfortable with English as a second language.
What about you? What's your first language? English,
my first language is – my emotional language is Spanish. My writing language is English.
So, but when you're writing in English, do you think Spanish is there inflecting
Your
English?
Oh, yeah. No, my first drafts are very, very funny because they, you know, even within a sentence, there will be both languages completely mixed up.
Well, we do have Spanglish.
Well, that's different, though. It's different from what I'm doing, which is more like I think the professionals call it code switching, where because I do speak both languages equally well, and I just go from one to the other. And when I write my first drafts, that's the way I do it.
And there are certain things that are easier to say in one language than another.
Yes, and there are some things that you just can't say in English. There are certain names, certain places, certain fruits, vegetables, and even some, you know, there's a wonderful word that I really always love in Spanish, lamentablemente. They use it when they want to tell you, I'm so very sorry, you know, lamentably. You know? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't sound the same in English, and it doesn't have to me the weight of the Spanish word.
Well, because lament really is a very heavy word, and
Yes. It
is not meant to be that heavy.
Right, not in English, but in Spanish, yeah. you hear it all the time.
You've written three memoirs, When I Was Puerto Rican, Almost a Woman, and The Turkish Lover. Are you planning to write others?
Well, I'm continuing to listen to the characters in Conquistadora because there's still a lot of history that I'm curious about, and so that's what I'm following up.
So
with
you're going to do
next.
A sequel, in effect?
I'm hoping to. I'm right now. I'm researching and just trying it and see what happens.
Esmeralda Santiago's latest book is this novel called Conquistadora. It is published by Knopf. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It was really fun to talk to you.